Glory to God. Well, one thing we want to announce also, if we're doing Christmas project a little different this year, rather than buying things for people and just having them out there. If, the past 4 years, maybe you've had, it's been a little tight. Maybe it's been a little tight. You know, what do they keep saying? Inflation is. And of course, God's our source and he's always going to take care of us, right? Right. We always need to remember God's our source. But, you know, if maybe just the past year or so, it's been a little tight, then use a little extra for Christmas this year. Got extra family coming in, need some food, need something like that. What we'd like people to do, instead of, it says don't let the right hand know what the left hand's doing. So instead of doing it a different direction, on an offering envelope, write it out, get it to somebody today because the offering's already been taken up. But nobody will see it except for Karen and Kim. Karen's not here, I guess. Anyway, and just that you could, you would be able to use a little help this year if you wanted it. With pantry items or other ways. Mrs. Moore announced it a few weeks ago. And we want to be a blessing, we also want to hook our faith with everyone that would find themselves. We don't want people using up their credit cards. You know, I know every Christmas when I was young, we didn't have money. But every Christmas we got stuff. Yeah. Makes me know my parents had a lot of credit card debt. I'm thankful that they went ahead and did it because, we didn't even know you could ask for help in other ways. But they had a lot of credit card debt. Well, if we can keep that from happening a little bit, then we'll believe God with you. Amen? Does that make sense to everybody? All right. Glory to God. I don't think I did it as good as Mrs. Moore, but she caught me off guard. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. How's everybody today? God's good, isn't he? You know, I'm going to go over that again because not the Christmas project, but God's our source. Okay? Man is not your source. No one in here that's saved and a child of God has to look to man to meet their needs. They don't have to beg. They don't have to wonder if somebody's going to come and help them. They don't have to want that. God is your source. Yes, right. He may use a man as a channel, but don't look for that man. Amen. Amen? Amen. Look to God. You know, our existence, our being should be looking to God every day. For everything we would want or desire, but looking to him more so for what are we supposed to do, yes. Right? If we're spending all our time trying to get something, we're distracted from the kingdom of God, right? Yep. If you're spending all your time on your needs, believing for this, believing for that, then you're distracted from the kingdom of God. You're spending all your time on you. And God's got a better way. Amen? So when you start thinking that way, you got to stop yourself. You know why? Because you can. In fact, that's the name of the sermon today. And this part had nothing to do with it. Because you can. Amen? Why? Because God's bigger than anything you're dealing with. And he's put in you his ability, his goodness. He's put in you his love and desire for your life and for what should happen through your life. Amen? He's the source that goes in you and helps you and then comes out of you and begins to help others. Amen? And that's the kind of source you're looking for, a source that flows in and through you all the time. And he's your source. I don't care what you've been dealing with. I don't care what inflation comes to, how high gas prices get. I don't care what the doctor said. He's your source. Amen. He is our source. And if we look to him, If we look to Him, He will make a way. He will heal your body. He will. You people say, well, you know, some people had to go to the doctor. If you went to a doctor, God healed you. Yep. People say, well, you know, Kim, she had to go through chemotherapy. You know, well, wonder why. It took more faith to go through that.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, sir.
People look at these things wrong. Right?
Yes.
Find the way, find your path and follow it. Find where God's leading you and follow that, because that's the only thing you can have faith in. Amen? Who's your source? That's it. That's it. Amen. Amen. And we believe Him because we can. We can. We love Him because we can. He first loved us. Now we can love Him. Right? Glory to God. Open your Bibles to Galatians 6, and we'll get some word with this. Amen? Word's good. God has provided us with a way of living, and it is a way of living is doing good. He desires us to be like Him. And what'd He do? He went about doing good. That's what Jesus' whole life was about, going about doing good and healing all those that were oppressed of the devil. You know who's oppressed of the devil? Anybody that doesn't know Jesus. Right? Anybody that has not met the Savior, they are oppressed of the devil. Amen? It's not because their foot hurts, they're sick to their stomach, they've got a headache, the doctor said this. That's not what's oppressing them. What's oppressing them is they don't know Jesus. Amen? And when you don't know Him, you don't have, there's so many abilities that He's given that you don't have. You know, there are people out there, you know, well, let's read this verse before I'll get to talking and we'll forget to read. What did I say? Galatians 6, verse 8 maybe. This one came up late, so it's not in my notes. That'll work. Actually, go up one more. Yeah, let us... up one more. I'm sorry. Up is 7 to me. There you go. Like if I was reading, up would be up, right? Yeah. I'm sorry. I should have said go down. Yeah. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he reap. And you know, a lot of people, and Brother Moore's went over this before, they read that like it's a bad verse. It's not a bad verse. It's God saying, I don't want you to be confused. Whatever you sow to, that's what you're going to reap from. Amen? Whatever you sow to, that's what you're going to reap from. You can sow to the flesh, right? Next verse. If you sow to the flesh, you'll reap things that aren't everlasting. You know, people look at the word corruption, they go, oh, corruption, corruption. Corruption just means it ain't going to make it. Right? Corrupted, it ain't going to make it. Right? If we sow to, and you know, I've sowed to my flesh so much, and it's gone. Right? It's gone. There's nothing left. Why? Because it was prone to corruption.
Yeah.
Right? It's not everlasting. If I gave you a word from Dave, you could forget it in 3 hours. Why? Because it's not a word from God. It's not everlasting. It's not eternal. Its power is limited to the moment. Right? And in that moment, it may do nothing for you. But the Word of God, when you begin to sow to the Spirit, when you begin to sow spiritual things, when you begin to sow peace, when you begin to sow love, when you begin to sow out of the infinite wisdom of God, if I say through the Word of God to John Norris,
amen,
something, then John Norris can now believe it, take off with it, and let it happen in his life. Amen? If I begin to love somebody with a love beyond me, then that's an infinite love. It's something they'll remember, they'll hold fast to, and every day when they wake up, it'll still be there. It'll still be there. It doesn't quit on you. It doesn't run out on you. It's the kind of love that we're to walk in on a daily basis. Amen? And he said, if you sow to that, you'll reap from that. Amen? So if I sow love, if I sow out of love, if I sow out of love, and sowing out of love is not, you know, God told me, in fact, this is where this message came from. He told me a few months ago, he said, you have not loved until you love your enemy. He said, you've not loved. You've not exercised love. You're right? It's kind of like lifting something you can all the time. Right? That's what he says. If you love those who love you, all you've done is lift what you can every day of your life. And you're not getting any stronger. You're not gaining any traction. You're not changing any lives. You're not doing anything for anyone else. Right? You're not putting out anything infinite. You're putting out love that loves you back. Right? And it's not just about love. Your enemy, the people say, yeah, those people that don't know Jesus. You know what? There are people right now that could be offended with something I said. Right? And if they were, it's not my job to try to get them to love me. It's my job to love them. It's not. I'm not going to say, oh, I can't believe they're offended. I would have preached a good message, said all I knew to say. I'm not preaching no more. Right? You know what? There's people that get offended right here in the church. The first thing you got to do is start loving those who are supposed to love you right now. Right? This is a great place to practice, but it's not a great place to stop. Amen? Because what happens is, in the world today, what God said to me after that is, he said, as you begin to love people, and if it's not reciprocated, you begin to get weary. As you get older and you watch the news and you look at the way the world's going and you look at things besides me, not me, but God, then you'll get weary. You'll get weary in doing well. Amen? And he said, when you get weary in doing well, the first thing that shuts down is your love walk. You do less for God than you ever did before when you get weary. You know, another word for that is faint-hearted. When your heart backs off, when your heart gets away from God and not more towards him, when you're tender towards God, you hear his voice and it excites you. You hear his voice, and it excites, not because he told you what he was going to do for you, but what he was told you what he was going to do through you. He began to show you what you could do with the love that he's put in you. He begins to show you and let you know about the word that's in you that could help somebody else. He begins to show you how to be patient when you couldn't before. Why? Because it's an infinite patience. It's a patience born out of love, not born out of necessity, not born out of, Lord, I just got to be patient with them. They're horrible. Right? That's not what God says about you. It's not what he said about me. Amen? He's patient with us all the time. He's long-suffering. He's long suffering. He's gonna. When your patience gave up, he hadn't even started yet. Why? Because his patience is born out of love. His patience is born out of his goodness, and out of that goodness, he begins to work in your life and work through your life and give into your life and feed into your life. And out of that goodness, you begin to flow out. And when you begin to flow out of that goodness, then you're walking in love. What a neat idea. We could do it every day. Did you know we can wake up and people say, I don't know why you'd love me? Because we can. There's no other reason. You don't need enough. You know why he loved you? Because he could. Because why? He's love, and that's what he does. You know what you're born of? Love. That's what we do. Amen? People say, what are you going to do about this? I'm going to love. I'm going to walk in love. I'm going to be patient. I'm going to be kind. I'm not going to be envious or jealous. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to quit. I'm going to be here. Amen? And when you begin to walk in that way, you're doing good. And you're doing good works. Why? Because you're doing works born out of that love. And it's easy to get distracted and get weary and begin to do things back in the flesh. sowing to the flesh. Right? Why? Because it feels good. Why? Because it's lazy. It takes no effort to love people loving you back. Right? Do you know I rarely have to wake up and say, I got to love Kim today. Whew, I better exercise this morning because I'm going to have to love Kim. You know, I never wake up in the morning and wonder if I'm going to love Kim. You know why? Because I love Kim. I'm going to love her tomorrow. I'm going to love her the next day. I'm going to love her. And you know what? She's going to love me back. And it's going to take very little effort if I do it right. And if I let the enemy confuse us and love died. Love does. That's this kind of love. You see people, oh, I love you. You know, I'm glad they've got some form of love. You know what? That's like a wink and a nod. Wink and a gun. You got it, brother. Right? You know how patient this is? That's how patient it is. That's how long it took to get rid of it. Right? I want to walk in the kind of love that doesn't quit on you. I want to walk in the kind of love that no matter what I see out of you, my determination for your victory doesn't change. Amen? I can't bring you your victory. I can't make your victory happen. But I can never quit believing God that you're going to get it. Somehow, some way. And that's the kind of love that gets people through. That's the kind of love that'll take them. And one day they'll say, I don't know why this guy hadn't given up on me. I got to find out more about this, what he's doing. And then they find Jesus. Then they find the way. Then they find the truth. And they walk in a way that changed. They're now able to walk in the way that God was showing you to walk. Amen? And it's a whole nother level. It's a whole nother level. But to walk in that love, we have to humble ourselves. What does it say about love? It says it doesn't envy. It's not jealous. It doesn't boast. Tells me you're going to be walking a lot of humility. Right? Especially as pretty as I am. You got to imagine, I have to calm it down every now and then. Right? I mean, when you look like me, you got to talk to yourself. But you're going to have to, we're going to have to humble ourselves. What are we humbling ourselves? Under the mighty hand of love. The mighty hand of God. God is love. What's he say? He says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you. And what's he saying? I'll elevate you. If you'll humble yourselves under my hand, I'll elevate you to a place you've never been before. I'll allow things to happen in and through your life that you could not have imagined. And I'm not talking about things for you. I'm talking about things through you. Love is designed for others. He's going to love you and put it in you. And then we should be so excited about what's in us that we can't stop from going and loving others. That now the distractions of life are gone. Why? Because you got one great big distraction, and it's love. Right? And it's a good distraction. It's the one that catches your attention, and it won't let go. Why? Because now I can do things. I can forgive. I can be merciful. There's so many more things we can do. And we read the Bible different when we see that. You know, I was reading the verse in Hebrews where it says, come boldly before the throne of grace to receive mercy and grace and help in a time of need. And to me, I read it last night. I'm like, if I don't have enough of him to help somebody else, I can go boldly before the throne and ask for more grace to help someone else. It's not just about me. It's not just about me. I can go boldly before the throne of God, and I can grab all the grace I need to walk out this love walk, to walk out this mission, this kingdom of God mission that he's put in us. Amen? To walk out his purpose and his plan. Yes, it's there. If you have a need, go get it fixed. But then get a little extra for somebody else. What? That grace is not just for you. It's for everyone. and he'll give you grace to spill over on. Amen? Glory to God. Where were we? Galatians? Galatians 6. What verse did we end up with? 8. We're already decided. We're going to sow to the Spirit, right? How many have sowed to the flesh? You can raise your hand because there ain't nobody in here, ain't? You sowed to the flesh if you didn't raise your hand because you lied. Right? We've sown to the flesh. You know how you sow to the flesh? I don't feel like it. Right? I don't like them. You're sowing to the flesh right there. Yeah? I'm not happy today, and I'm just going to be not happy. I had a guy one time I went up to, and I was trying to encourage him to get him cheered up, and he said, look, I'm unhappy. Leave me alone. I want to be unhappy. I left him alone for a minute. Then I went back and I smiled at him and gave him a hug. He didn't like that. Not my job to make him love me, my job to love him. Yeah. Amen? And eventually I left him alone. He got better. He came back. Why? I left my love with him. I'm not. Love doesn't quit. And say, oh, you don't want my love? Fine. Give it back. That's not love. He must have, oh. Right? We might as well just do that. Oh. Right? You know, this doesn't help. Right? If you drive down the street, somebody's hungry. You go, are they full now? No, and I'm not saying you can feed everybody. But you want to feed who God tells you to.
Amen?
Amen? You want to take the time to check your heart. If you're walking in love, if you're walking by love, if you're doing good, you don't want to be weary. You know what weary is? Oh, that's a scam. Might be. God will tell you. Right? And a lot of them are. Don't get me wrong. Don't just start walking down the street handing out $20 bills. Unless God tells you to. Amen? Glory to God. Stay off that. Stay off that. What's the next verse say? And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. If we're doing well, the only thing that makes us weary is looking at what's not happening for us. And what he's saying is, don't get weary and start looking to your flesh. Don't get weary and start looking at what you don't have, can't do, right? Don't get weary, right? Because if you'll keep doing well, in due season, you will reap.
Yes, sir.
Why? Because you're sowing infinitely. What you're sowing it's got to come to pass. You're not sowing any longer from the flesh. You're not sowing something that's going away. You're sowing something that's in the ground and it has to come up. Right? But you didn't sow it for that reason. If you're only doing well to reap doing well, then you're not really doing well. Right? You're not. I mean, if the only reason you love somebody, I need to be loved. I got to find somebody to love. Keith, I just love you. I love you. I love you. I love you. There you go. Now I need to reap some love. Where is it? Right? No. When you follow God, you're seeking His kingdom. You're seeking His will. You're seeking the things of God. And your heart is not on that stuff. It's kind of like if I read these verses. And anybody in here is saying, yeah, somebody needs to be doing well to me. You missed it. You missed it. Right? If you said, yeah, somebody needs to be doing well to me. Somebody needs to do something good for me. You missed it. Because these verses were read to you. Right? It says you don't grow weary in doing well. Now that verse applies to every person who read it this morning. Right? People say, oh, you don't know what's going on in my life. Doesn't matter. You know what doing well is sometimes? Hey, how you doing? How's everything going? Feel good today? Just want you to know I love you, man, that you're awesome. That's doing good.
Yeah.
Right? If you do it from love, it's doing good. Amen? Again, if we're not loving beyond ourselves, If we're not loving an enemy, if we're not loving somebody that would stand against us, that's somebody that doesn't want to be loved, if you're not exercising love, then you really haven't experienced all love can be. You've experienced the least amount of love, the easiest part of love. Jesus, when did he show you love? While you were yet his enemy, he showed you love. That's when God sent Jesus, while we were powerless, when we were sinners, when we had nothing to offer him, right? He died for us. He showed us the ultimate act of love. He gave his life for us. Gave his life to us. Amen? Amen. That's when love is tested. That's what's it say? It says bodily exercise is profitable a little, right? And don't get me wrong, we want a bodily exercise, right? Why? Because you want to finish your course, right? So I've been bodily exercising, and I'll do some bodily more, right? And it'll profit me a little, right? But I'm going to do some spiritual exercise, right? I'm going to exercise love. I'm going to exercise patience and unenvious and unjealous, whatever, because those aren't words, they are today. I'm going to exercise believing in people, having their back. I'm going to exercise the goodness of God every day. Why? Because it's internal. It's eternal. It's the things that you'll do in a day that make a difference. Amen? And it's the things that he's saying don't get weary in doing. He's not saying don't get weary in doing this. Right? Right? Because your arms might get tired and you just can't do that anymore. You know? I mean, it's good that this is a symbol. I mean, this is a better symbol than some of the other ones I've gotten with a hand gesture. Right? Tell you what, you drive like somebody doesn't want you to in some states and you'll get to see some hand gestures. And you'll be able to operate in love. Instead of saying, you idiot, I can't believe you just did that. No. Lord, help them. They're obviously angry today. Lord, give them something to encourage them and build them up. But don't let them stay that way. The road rage is dangerous. Right? People yell at people in the, and don't get me wrong. Sometimes I'm driving down the road and I make it about 3 miles. Driving 40 in a 55. And I stop and say, what in the world are you thinking? And you know what the Lord did to me one time? He said, maybe that's as safe as they can drive at that speed. And if you try to speed them up, they're going to be dangerous. And I thought, that's mean, Lord. And he said, no, that's love. Amen. We can always, love elevates us to another place. It helps us to hear in another way, to have vision in a way we didn't have vision before. Amen? And it's not just that we have the love, it's that we have the aspects of love, the qualities of love. When you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, the mighty hand of love, you now have a patience that people that don't know him don't have. You now have a patience that many people who know him won't ever use.
Yes.
Right? It's up to us. It's not just going to fall on you. He'll say, okay, you got my love. Now you'll never be impatient again. Guess what? I've had his love for years. And unless I use it, impatience does happen. Unless I use it. I can look at things and say, man, I'd really like that. I wonder why it didn't happen for me. Anybody can do it. Why? Because you have flesh. There is not one perfect person in here, but we're being perfected by God. When we walk in this love, we can walk in perfection.
Amen?
Amen? And when we're not walking in this love, you're not walking in the perfection that you could be. Amen? Look at Luke 6. People say, ah, Dave, that's all he talks about is love. Dave needs a lot of love. Dave likes to hear about things that he could have been doing for years and can do now. Amen? Thank you, Lord. Luke 6, starting 35, I suppose. 6:35. Says, this is the verse he showed me when he said, "You haven't loved till you love your enemies," because you know in Matthew it says, "You've been taught love your neighbors, hate your enemies," but I tell you this, mm-hmm. Right? So Jesus is saying, "Wait a second. I can elevate you. I can elevate you beyond the law." Right? That was the law. Love your neighbor, hate your enemy. That was the law. But he said, you know what? I got something better. And you can be elevated beyond. That's what that word exalted literally means when it says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God and he will exalt you. He'll elevate you. He'll elevate you. He's not showing you off. He's taking you to a place, a higher place in a higher way. Amen? And when he elevates you, now you're able to hear this. Love your enemies and do good. What's he saying? Love your enemies. Did you know that most people would find that impossible? And without God's love, it is. But now he's going to go through qualities of love. He's going to say, he says, love your enemies. Now, let me show you what love is. Love is doing good. Love is lending and hoping for nothing again. Love. And your reward shall be great, and you'll be like, and you shall be the children of the highest. For why? Because love is kind to unthankful people. Love will be kind to somebody that's not even doing one thing for it. In fact, it's, you know, people say, well, they're not going to say thank you. Forget it. Well, he said, be kind to them. There's lots of people who don't tell him thank you every day for the air they're breathing. Right? For the rain they're going to experience. Because why? He's raining on the just and the unjust. The sun's coming up. It's shining on me and you. Right? It's shining on everybody that didn't go to church today. Right? Did you know that God's not going to put a cloud over them and have the sun shining on you all day? Why? Because that's God kind of love. That's the God kind of love. He's going to make it apparent that he loves everyone. You know who Jesus died for that day when he died for you? Everyone.
Yes, sir.
Amen? Amen. Why? Because God loves everyone. That's who he loves. And when we look at this and God says, love your enemy, he said, what's he saying? He said, I want you to know you can do the very thing I'm getting ready to do. I want you, because why? He was loving us when he came. He stripped off everything that was about God and became human. And he came to this earth and he walked this earth and he chose not to sin. He got tempted, but he never did it. He's not like us. When the car was driving 40 in the 50, he'd have blessed them instead of said, what in the world are you thinking? Take their license. Well, that's what the flesh sows, but the spirit says, man, I guess that's as safe as they can be. Let's just follow them. Let's not get too close to them. Let's try to help them. Get them to the next place. And if we see a place to pass, we'll do it then. Right?
Right.
Because why? Maybe if I'm late, I should have left earlier. Love would have. It would have planned ahead for somebody driving 40. This love stuff, you know, people say, it's easy to love people. I just love people all the time. No. Then you're not doing it then. Right? It is easy to choose to love people. But you have to choose. I have to choose. It's not just something your flesh doesn't wake up and say, I just can't wait to get out of bed, first of all. Right? Why? Because, I can lay there. Right? And then I hope I meet 6 people that need me the minute I walk out the door. Right? Can I just get a break? Let me have a drink of water. Many people would be coffee. Can I just get a break for a minute? Give me some me time. I just need a little me time. If I had a little me time, then I could help you. What are you saying? I need to be selfish really before I can actually love. If I could just be selfish for a minute, then I maybe could love later. Maybe if we woke up unselfish, we wouldn't have to have any of those thoughts. Is that right? Well, you'd have to fight them. You're going to have them no matter what. You've got to cast those down. Amen? It says, love your enemies, do good, lend, hoping for nothing again. He's not saying lend and tell them not to pay you back. He's saying lend, and if they don't pay you back, don't hold a grudge. And believe they'll be able to pay you back someday. Right? If it wasn't, he'd just say give it to them because they're not going to pay you anyway. Right? He didn't say that. He said lend. He used the word lend. I looked in the Youngs, and it used the word lend. Okay? We're not going to go off on that, though. He said, then you'll be like, you'll be children of the highest, for he is kind to the unthankful and to the evil. He's kind. And I find some days I'm kind, and I find some days I struggle to be kind, and I'm kind, and I find some days I choose not to be kind. Right? You guys, I'm not, you know, because I know you guys just choose to be kind every day, and I'm thankful for your saintness, your saintliness. I'm thankful. But what I find in walking in love is you're going to have to purpose to do it. Yeah. You're going to have to say, the devil says you don't want to do that. Your flesh says I don't want to do that. And you're going to say, I don't have to want to. I can do that. Right. And I'm going to do it because I can. Yeah. And there's nothing that's going to stop me. Right. And then you begin to operate in what God's put in you. And you begin to be kind. You see somebody that's unthankful, and you're extra kind to them. You know, when we see, and I know I've said this before, but when we go in a restaurant and the waitress is having a rough day, we find extra money to give to her. We find an extra way to bless her. Why? Because she needs just something to pick her up. And, you know, we'll be nice the whole time, but there's a lot of people that are nice and give you a nickel. Right? And you know what they normally, that doesn't help a waitress's day. Right? If they're a waitress and they're having a rough day, a good tip. Amen. Right? People say, well, if it's, you know, if I have to buy them off. No, you're not buying them off. You're blessing them. Yes. Keep going. Actually, just go in the next verse. 36. Be therefore merciful as your Father is merciful. If somebody's having a bad day, do you assume you've never had a bad day? Right? Be merciful. Yeah. Be merciful. What's he saying? I want you to walk in such a way that judgment is the last thing you consider. It's the last thing you consider. Judgment, and he's not saying judge in a situation. If somebody's doing something wrong, you can judge between good and bad. But he's saying don't judge the person. Don't condemn them. Say, oh, can you believe they're doing that? Well, of course you can believe they're doing it. You did it. Right? The minute you say, can you believe they do that, you just judged yourself. Why? Because you were just like them. You may not have done it yet today, but you got a good chance of it now. Why? Because you judged them. Amen? What did he say? He says, be merciful. What's he saying? Elevate your love. Love your enemies. And then he goes on down. Be kind to the unthankful and the evil. And then he goes on down. Be merciful as your Father's merciful. In other words, have the same kind of mercy he had for you. Have that same kind of mercy. Right? Because mercy will forgive before they even offended you. Did you know if you're in forgiveness before somebody did the wrong, it's not very hard? Because why? Forgiveness happened in advance. That's what happened for you and me. Right? He didn't forgive you when you were saved. He forgave you before you were saved. And then he gave you the opportunity to receive it. Right? It's like people say, I got to repent before God can do this. What God's saying is if you'll repent, you can receive this. It's already there. He said, you need to repent to be able to receive it. It's not, I'm not holding it back for him. It's right there. Your arm ain't long enough from here. If you repent, you can get over here and you can grab it. Amen? Mercy. What's he saying? Have mercy. Elevate your love. Have mercy in a situation you wouldn't have mercy before. Right? We can do, and what, he's not telling us things we can't do. Why? Because love does these things. Why? Because it can. Why are you merciful? Because I can be. Glory to God. Not because I have to be. Not because Jesus told me to be. Because he gave me the ability to be. Amen. If we have mercy and we never use it, then we're never exercising love. You're not exercising love. And that's what Jesus is trying to say. He says, quit having the sit in the easy chair love. That's when I love Kim. I'm sitting in the easy chair. Why? She's loving me all day long. She's doing good things for me. She's kind to me. Even when she's mean to me, she's still kind of kind. You know? It's kind of like getting bit by a gerbil. Yeah, it just really doesn't hurt that bad. Right? So I'm sitting in the easy chair, and he's saying, get up out of the easy chair. Love an enemy. Who's been standing against you? Who you been thinking about and getting mad? Who you been thinking about and it makes you mad? I remember when I was in the floor covering business, God told me one day, because somebody walked in, I said, oh, I remember them. Why? Because they dripped me off and they came back. I'm like, oh, I remember them. And then later on, somebody walked in that had a good job, and they never said a word, which people who have a good job never say a word, by the way. And he said, you remember them? I'm like, we did a job for them. He said, you remember the bad, but you forget the good. Wow. What was I doing? Sowing to the flesh. Wow. Sowing to the flesh. And that's what he's saying. He said, forget the bad, right? And when they walk back in, love them. Love them. Be merciful to them. Right? Be kind to them. Don't upcharge them because they didn't do right the last time. Right? That's what you wanted to. I heard you guys back there. Give them a little upcharge. No. No. Give them a deal. Bless those who curse you. Love can do it. You can't. But love in you can. You're a new creature. You are a new creature in Christ. You have been elevated to a place that other people haven't even seen. If we'll just get there. If we'll just allow these things to happen in our lives. If we'll just allow that love to let us see it right, to let us hear it right, to let us ignore it when it needs to be ignored. You know how many things you say in a lifetime that God just ignores? Because I'll guarantee you, people say, oh, I said that and it didn't happen to me. You should thank God. Right? Because your words hold power. And you keep saying it, you'll get some faith behind it and you'll wish you hadn't. Amen? You'll say, nothing good ever happens to me. And nothing good's ever happening for them. They've been saying it all their life. Be merciful as your Father also is merciful. Judge not and you shall not be judged. What's he saying? He's saying, love, love, love. I want you to love and be merciful. I want you to love and not judge. I want you to love and not condemn. I want you to love and forgive. He forgave you before you ask. Amen? Forgiveness is the answer to so many problems. There are people running from things that forgiveness would heal. If they quit running from it and just forgive, truly forgive, by faith, through love. You're not just going to do it by faith. You're going to need to use that love because faith works by love. But by faith, through love, you can forget. You can forget. You're a new creature in Christ. Old things are passed away. When did that verse update itself? Just now when I spoke it again? Right? Every day you're a new creature in Christ. You have new ability that you don't even know about every day. Amen? Every day. But when we begin to love, then forgiveness is part of our makeup. In other words, we don't have to search for it. It's in you. The ability to forgive is up to you. Now, whether you choose to or not, it's totally up to you. Again, sow to the flesh, unforgiveness, you'll reap unforgiveness. And you'll reap the benefits of unforgiveness. The benefits of unforgiveness are self-condemnation. The benefits of unforgiveness are self-hate and selfishness. The benefits of unforgiveness are not something we want to reap. Amen? We want to reap the benefits of forgiveness. The benefits of forgiveness are love. And when you forgive, you've operated in what the Bible calls the highest form of love. Because Jesus saved you even forgiving your sins. You know how far he threw them? Infinite. As far as the east is from the west is how far he threw your sins. Right? How forgiven are you? You're getting more forgiven every second because those are still going. Because there's no end to east or west. Right? They're still going. Glory to God. And that's how forgiven you are. That's how healed you are. That's how loved you are. Amen? He said, forgive and you shall be forgiven. Well, what's he saying? He's saying, all these, if you sow to the Spirit and you forgive, that's spiritual sowing, then you'll reap from the Spirit forgiveness. Amen? And see, these aren't like human words. We have to get out of our human head, because humans forgive you and they do it just like, oh, I love you. Go away now. Right? That's not forgiveness. Forgiveness may look at you and struggle the next day and say, I forgive him. I forgive them. I forgive them. Yeah. And then the next day it walks out and the devil puts it in your mind one more time. I forgive him. I forgive him. I forgive them. You know, if you say that long enough, you'll smile and you say, I do forgive them. I forgive them. Why are you smiling? Because you didn't think you could. But God's love enabled you to go to a level you never thought you could be. And it keeps you in the place you're supposed to be. In His love. Dwelling in a place that others only dream of. Amen? And then He says, give. And see, people, we separate this out, and of course it does mean give, and it'll be given to you. But what's he saying? He's saying love give. Don't just give, love give. Give has eternal value when love is the backing. Right? If I just walked up and said, here, right? That money's just gone. Why? Because I didn't give in love. Right? What kind of giver does God love? A cheerful giver. And what's he saying? He's saying, my love has made you a giver. My love has enabled you to truly give. Before you knew me, you had no ability to give. Because giving is a form of love. And it's done because you love somebody. And guess what? Because you can. Not because they need it, not because if they don't get it, they're not going to make it. You know what? God may have you do it, but He wants you to do it because you love them. No other reason. See, when you got to have a reason to do something, make it love. Just say, you know what? I'm going to do it because I love them. God told me to. That means I can. Right? I can do it in faith, and I love them. Amen? These are all qualities of love your enemy. You know what? If you really went back to the first verse, it said, love your enemy, judge not. Love your enemy, forgive. Love your enemy, condemn not. Love your enemy, give. What's he saying? He's saying love works with every person. The minute that you back it off and you only love those you want to love, then you no longer exercise love. It's no longer profitable for all things. It's no longer good for everything. Why? Because you just took it out of that realm. You shrunk it down to your mind, to your flesh, and now it's not love like He wants it to be. Amen? It's not time for us to decide who to love. We need to love everyone He loves. It makes it simple. Just love everyone God loves. There you go. Your assignment today. Love every person God loves. Do not love one person He doesn't love. I do not want to catch somebody out here loving somebody that God doesn't love, okay? That's your assignment. And your assignment goes further than that, though. You can't just say, oh, I love them. No, you're going to be patient with them. You're going to be kind to them. You're not going to be envious or jealous. You're not going to be boastful or proud. You're going to love them. You're going to love them. If they say something that grates you, you're going to immediately forgive them. But you're not even going to notice it. It hardly even notices when others have done it wrong. That's what love does. Hardly even notices. Glory to God. I'd like to be that stupid. Right? Amen. Stupid love. Man, you don't even have to know it. Then you walk off and they say, do you realize what they just said about you? No. Do you want to know? No. Let's remain stupid. Give and it shall be given unto you, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. And then when you go to with the same measure, you need to go back up to every one of those qualities of love. Because with the same measure you judge, you'll be judged. With the same measure you give, you'll be given. With the same measure that you condemn, you'll be condemned. With the same measure you forgive, you'll be forgiven. Makes you want to be very forgiving, doesn't it? Right? Well, you want to be very hard to offend. You want to be very hard to hold a grudge. Did you know that love doesn't hold a grudge? Ever? Ever. Ever. If love was going to hold a grudge, God would have done it years ago, eons ago. Why? Because we're not the first people that sinned. Got news for you. I know the devil lied to you and told you you're the only one who ever did it. Everyone's done it. Maybe not exactly what you did, but they've done it. Somebody said to me one day, they said, how can God use this person? I'm like, same way he used you and me.
Amen.
Same way he used you and me. If he can't use people that mess up, we're going to have a small church. There's going to be nobody and a liar. That's who's going to be in the church. Right? It doesn't give us license to sin. It gives us license to walk in love. It gives us the ability and elevates us to a place that says, I don't want to be that person anymore. I want to be the person that loves the person that I was. Because somebody loved me. Somebody didn't quit on me. Somebody had my back. Glory to God. And somebody had all y'all's. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Go to the verse we've been talking about, 1 Peter 5. Because this is how you do it. If you want to walk in love, the first thing you're going to have to do is humble yourself under him. You know, I was talking to somebody, and this is a sidetrack, but we're going to sidetrack anyway. I was talking to somebody not long ago, and, you know, in these circles, sometimes we get into what I would call spiritual pride. You know, I don't want to tell somebody I need help in my faith. You know, I don't want to call and bother them because they should think I'm strong enough in my faith I can do it. You know what? Biggest mistake you ever made. He puts you under people that could have faith with you. They can't believe for you, but they can join their faith, and you want their faith. I tell people all the time when they call and they say we're believing for healing in this area, and I'm say okay, and they say I don't really want a bunch of people to know. I said you're gonna know, I'm gonna know, and now the Moores are gonna know, and you know why? And they go why? Because you want their faith.
Yes.
God puts you under them for a reason, and you want their faith. Do not be spiritually proud or too proud to call and say hook faith. Sometimes you'll never hear another word. Sometimes they may say, hey, tell them this. What? Now you got a word. Glory to God. Humble yourself. Humility is not just under, you know, me and the mighty hand of God. You know what? The mighty hand of God put people over you. Right? When you put yourself under him, he put people over you. And he said, why? Because I want to protect them. I want to keep them. This is my way of doing things. This is how I operate. It's how I operate in the earth. Amen? Is that person perfect? You know what? That person's who's over you. Right? When the devil tells you, well, they sin just like me, I'm just as good as them. That is not even what it's about. And we're getting ready to get into a whole nother message that we got to stop now. Right? Trust me. You want your leader's faith.
Yes.
Amen? Amen.
Yes,
if your leader is a faith person, you want their faith.
Yeah.
Glory to God. Glory to God. 1 Peter 5:6. Humble yourselves. Who's humbling you? And that doesn't mean too many people. Grovel. Grovel there under the mic. Not grovel. It's saying, I needed a Savior now. I need a Savior then. I need a Savior every day. I need a Savior. Without being underneath Him, I am powerless. Without being underneath His hand, I can do nothing. But when I humble myself, when I, through humility, say, Lord, I love You, and I receive the love You have for me. And because of that, I put my trust, I put my life, I put who I am and what I do under You. And when you do that, then He'll exalt you when He's ready, when you're ready to be elevated. He'll say, what's He saying? He's saying, I'll give you wisdom to answer a question you didn't know the answer to. Why? Because love does that. I'll give you answers to questions. I'll give you love and patience. I'll pour my patience out of you so that when you thought you'd be mad by now, you're still believing. You're still hooked with them. You're still watching for them. You're expecting every day they're going to come out. Amen? What's He saying? He's saying, I'm going to pour my love in you and through you to such a point that you begin to walk like I did. That your life truly is no longer your own. And that you operate every day by my love, by my direction, by my will for the kingdom's good. And you quit thinking about, in fact, is the next verse, that's what it says. It says, humble yourself therefore under the mighty hand of God, that He may elevate you, exalt you in due time. Casting all your care. What's He saying? All the things that distract you from staying under Him. Right? And it's not just your bills, it's your hate. Right? It's your unforgiveness. Yeah, it's your judgment. What's He saying? Cast that. Those are distractions. You won't follow Me in love and do those things. Cast those cares upon Me. Why are you judging them? What's bothering you about them? What's bothering? Did they get something you didn't get? Are you jealous? Are you envious? Why are you choosing this route? What's He saying? Those are distractions. They'll pull you right out from under Him. What? Because judgment elevates you above the person you judged. You just elevated yourself. Unforgiveness elevates you because you would never do that. Most dangerous words in the world. I would never do that. I don't care what sin you see, don't say that. Say, by the grace of God, I am who I am, and I will follow Him. Amen? Glory to God. Casting all your cares upon Him, because why? Because He cares for you. What's He saying? I got what I want you to care about. I care about you, and because I care about you, I'm going to teach you how to care about others. I'm going to teach you how to love. I'm going to teach you how to love your enemy. You're going to begin to exercise love. And when you do it, it's, you know, people say, oh, that should be easy. I really like love. Not this kind of love. The love your enemy kind of love. That's the elevated love. That's the elevated patience. That's the elevated. That's when God's raised you up and said, you can do this. And then what do you say? I can do this. Because what? Because we can. Because we can. Take those distractions away. The things that distract us in this world are not the things we think distract us. They're not just the bills. They're not the healing issues. They're the offenses. Offense is big distraction. Judgment, big distraction. Unforgiveness, huge distraction. How many people think when that guy walked in the door in my carpet store and I immediately remembered him for the bad he had done that I was walking in love? I was nowhere near love. Thank God that I could hear a yelling voice saying, stop that. Stop that. You're only looking at the bad and you won't see the good. Amen? Because why? Because if we'll lean to love, if we'll lean to the qualities of love, then we'll find ourselves in places doing things that we never thought we could do. You'll be the one saying, where's your condemners? Where are those that condemn you? They're not here? Go and sin no more. You'll be the one with the wisdom of God. You'll be the one holding somebody's hand and taking them to the altar. You'll be the one helping them get from the place they're at to the place they need to be. You'll be the one that refuses to judge them and be in unforgiveness and love on them and maybe keep them in a church. You know why most people don't come to church? Because the devil immediately tells them they're going to judge you there. They're just going to judge you. We want to be the church where anybody can walk in really easy. I don't care what they got on. I don't care how many tattoos. I don't care how many earrings. You know what? I may get three myself. I'm just kidding. If I got them and I got to heaven, my dad would beat me up. I'm just kidding. I'm not going to do that, but I don't. That's not going to decide how I feel about somebody.
Right.
Amen?
Amen?
Fact is, lots of times I'll tell them, man, that's good ink. Right?
Yes.
It's not my job to get them to love me. It's my job to love them.
Yes.
We all have a job to do. What was it? Love every person that God loves and not one person that He doesn't. All right? Stand to your feet. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. You know, when I was looking at this, I've been looking at it for a few months now, actually, when He told me it, and I thought, I want to be elevated to a place to where my enemies don't see me as an enemy. Right? They see me as somebody they can trust and somebody they can talk to, somebody that won't judge them and somebody, but you know what? That doesn't just come by saying, I don't want to do it anymore. I don't want to do it wrong. It comes by making a decision that you're going to allow this love to dominate your life. In the marriage vows, that's one of the things that Brother Moore wrote to the couple. He said, allow this God kind of love to dominate your life. That's humbling yourself under the mighty hand of God. And when we allow that God kind of love to dominate our lives, we say things different, we do things different. Better yet, we see and hear things different. Because we no longer hear them with that fleshly ear that gets offended or that fleshly eye that sees wrong. We see what Jesus saw. Jesus saw sheep that were harassed and helpless without a shepherd. We know the shepherd. They can be part of the fold. If you're in here today and you don't know the shepherd, or maybe you walked away from the shepherd, we know the shepherd.